It's the 8 for 52 podcast. Here's Bushy.
Episode 13, season 2 of the 8 for 52 podcast. It's a go, Bushy, with you as always. We had Botters back last week, but he's disappeared again. He'll be back next week, I believe. So we've had to drag in another special guest and another former My Story. Our guest is in the house. It is the CHK Dragons captain himself, Jason Loy. Welcome back to the podcast, Jason.
Thanks for having me back on the show, Bushy.
It's going to be a big one. And as always, as is the way we do it in season two, if you turn up to guest host, you have to bring a My Story guest. Have you done so?
I have done indeed, and my guest this week is the one and only Afzal Haider.
Wow, that's a big one. Afzal, who I work with on KCC Morning League and also commentate with for Sky Warriors T20 League. Well, that's going to be a long chat, I'm assuming. He's got plenty of stories to tell. I know that he was in Pakistan for a long time and then moved to Hong Kong to coach, about 24 years ago. So you've got your questions ready?
I do indeed.
Yeah, you're going to keep him to a nice tight 30 minutes.
I'll see what I can do.
Okay, well, we'll do our best. There's some apologies that I should be doing. Apparently, Lama Cricket Club is angry with me for picking Charlie Bears last week. I'm not apologising.
Oh, I saw that post-match interview.
Yeah,
they did.
Yeah. They were just interviewing themselves, having a little bit of a dig at the podcast. So it might change my tips going forward, I'll be honest. We'll get to the results and we'll see how that one goes. We've got plenty to get through today as well, not just My Story. We've got outs and ins and outs. Tammy will drop by with the cricket women's wrap. There's internationals going on this week for women's cricket, so we'll be talking that. Natasha's going to drop in by phone for the Challenge League. Yeah, and challenging to remember what it's called. The Challenge League and all of the other stuff and birthdays coming up as well. So should we get on with the show?
Giddy up.
Again, like, giddy up.
And now it's time for outs and ins with all last week's action in Hong Kong. Take us away, Bushy.
Outs and ins. It is time to check last weekend, Saturday and Sunday games here in Hong Kong. Botters dropped in to do the tipping last week, Jason, and expected to give me a touch up. I expected him to give me a touch up as well with his cricket brain, his knowledge of Saturday cricket, especially where it's not my forte, I'll be honest. So we'll have a look at how it all went. Starting the week though, the guest was on 30 and Aaron was on 34. First game, we're going to start with Sunday Elite Division 1. Up the hill, the derby, the Scorps versus the Wanderers. First off, I'll say that I picked the Scorps and Botters picked the Wanderers, so go ahead and tell us how this went.
It's a win for you, Bushy.
It is a win.
Scorpions batted first, 270 for 6 from their 50 overs. Shiv in the runs as usual, 40. George Loop finally back in form, 63 from 47.
He's had a tough start to the season, George.
But yeah, good to see him in the runs again. Kinchit, unbeaten on 58, and the captain, Enad, his brother, 85 from 80 balls.
Now, not a single Wanderer appearing in that best performers, the top three at least. So 270 for 6 in 50. In reply, the Wanderers?
192 all out. Martin on his Wanderers return, didn't get any runs. Matt Rosley, the skipper, with 39. Nazakat, 40. And Tom Hicks, Danny Order, 41.
Okay, bowling. The Scorps, Kinchit also got 3 for on top of his 58 not out. There's a plethora of 3-fors. Nazakat getting 3 for 31 and Luke Jones for the Scorps getting 3 for 39. Player of the match, Kinchit Shah, combining his 58 not out with a 3-for in the winning side.
Good day for the spinners.
Yeah, lovely day. Off to Sunday Elite Division 2, which was just the weirdest of games, putting Atiq Iqbal out at PKVR Park. KCC Infidels up against the SLCC Lions. Botters and I both picked the Infidels on this one. How did it go?
And this was at PKVR, was it?
Yep.
Okay.
In the soccer field.
Yep. Infidels batted first, 270 for 8. The cash up top with 34. Devang, 32. The skipper, Ahan, was 67 from 75 balls. And welcome back to Tom Heisinger.
Hello, Tommy Heisinger.
81 from 66.
I thought he was back the game before, but he was into the Infidels. I thought he was in the Crusaders team the week before, but wasn't available. Into the Infidels, 81 off 65. Sent him a message and said, that's a way to say, hello, I'm back in Hong Kong. 270 for 8, and in reply, the Lions, they struggled.
Yep, 158 all out. Only resistance coming from Indonosa Sitha, 70 from 134, opening the batting. And then
Atik. That's pretty much half the runs.
Yeah, and Atik doing his thing. Does it say 11 overs on the...
It says 10 on mine. 10 overs. Just be careful with the app. But
okay.
10 overs, 12 maidens, 4 for 24. 4 on the official score. He got a player of the match as well, Atik Iqbal, letting him bowl on Astro. That's just cruel and unusual punishment to the batters. Saturday, Championship Div 1. We talked about this in the intro briefly. Lumber Cricket Club up against the Charlie Bears. We both picked the Charlie Bears, Bodders and I, and it didn't go our way.
And how wrong were you?
So very wrong, in fact. It was a bit of a shocker. I'd taken Charlie Bears out of the Never Ever Bin, and they went and did this to me. Lumber, batting first, 35 overs, 258 for 4.
That's a big score, Mission Road.
It is, but I will tell you, it's a decent score because they had the boundary set for the All-Stars Women's Series and the boundaries did not change. So while Lumber probably hit par, Charlie Bears were well under par. All out for 168 in 26 and a half. Chris Ryan.
The new recruit.
For Lumber, is he?
Yep.
He was playing...
He was playing Kaitak last season.
Yeah, he was making millions of runs for Kaitak last year. 98 not out for Lumber.
That's a jug avoidance there, Guppy.
Had I known Chris Ryan had transferred to Lumber and I'd done my research, perhaps I would have picked differently. 76 for Andre Leclerc. Marin Khan for Charlie Bears, 59, the best. In the bowling, what happened?
Yeah, just Matt Roberts, Brenton, Chris Ryan and Zahir were 2 wickets apiece.
Yeah, so Chris with his twofer and his 98 not out player of the match, and they gave me a serve.
That's a huge one for Lumber.
Yeah, big one, and they're now in my probably pick every week bin, and Charlie Bears will go back teetering on the edge. Saturday Championship Div 1, another derby up the hill, Nomads versus the Gap Ramblers. I got done in on this one. Picked the Nomads to win, and ooh, it was ugly.
Did Bodders pick the Ramblers?
Nah, he did. Yes, he did.
So it's a win for Bodders.
It is a win for Bodders. Nomads 108 all out in 30.5. Just everyone sort of failing with the bat, and Gap Ramblers, no troubles.
Yeah, it's the return of the GOAT. Stu Tohill, I think, playing his first game of the season. 7 overs, 2 for 22.
Oh, I know Stu from when he plays Commonwealth Sixers.
He must have played that this year.
Yeah, but he got washed out this year, so we never got to see him. That's usually when I see him once a year.
And then Gare Curry finishing with 4 for 25 from a 7.
Yeah, and Gare being the player of the match for Gap Ramblers, I dropped one there. Off to the Saracens versus the D'Asqua Little Sidewalk.
I'm going to stop you there quickly. Just in reply, Jack Meadows unbeaten 60 from the captain to chase down the Nomads.
Well, good job. I was watching it online. They didn't make hard work of it. That pitch wasn't all out for 108. I don't know what the Nomads were doing, but they did me in. Saracens versus the D'Asqua Little Siwon Strikers out at, where was that, GDB. Of course, the Saracens immediately being yeeted back into the Never Ever.
Never Evers. Another week, another loss.
Yeah, I had to pick the Strikers, Bodders and I both going with them. 164 for 6 for the Saracens. Usman Mange getting a half century. Well, that's about the only resistance they had. 168 for 2 for the Strikers in reply.
I mean, they were always going to be up against it without the best batter, Yazda Swani.
Yeah,
she was missing from the playing 11.
She was at All-Stars, and I mean, that's a big, big loss out of that side. Kapil Karkwal, who plays a lot of Mornian League, still in the runs on the weekends as well for the Strikers, getting a 68. But again, somehow the algorithm at Crick Heroes has given it to a threefer. I do love Siddharth Pandit, left armour. Bowls as slow as me. Got a 3 for 21, player of the match for the Strikers as they get the win. Moving on to Cam Tien for Saturday Championship Div 2, the Witherers versus the All-Stars. Now, before we go through this score, and I will point out that I picked the Witherers and Bodders picked India Club. I saw Andy Lloyd because he was coaching one of the All-Stars teams on the weekend. And he said he's going out there and he's going to try to get the win for me because he heard that I'd pick the Witherers to win out at Camden.
I did hear that on the picks last week.
Yeah, exactly. And then he came and saw me after the game and he went, yeah, okay, yeah, we got it done. You got the tip. I'm like, oh, thanks, mate. I hadn't seen the score. Anyway, Witherers, 322 for 7 in 35 overs at Campton.
That's correct. That's my team, actually.
Did you play?
I did. I didn't get any runs.
You are not.
Oh, yeah. He was a 4 down for not much.
Because Andy Lloyd, what did he do?
An unbeaten 171 from 86 balls.
That's outrageous.
Chanceless, may I add.
Was it good?
It was very impressive. 13 fours and 15, you know, very big sixes.
Nice.
I said actually on the offside.
Lost a few balls from Evindi Club's balls, did he? Into the jungle?
Indeed. We were scared. We didn't have enough balls.
Ah, nice. In reply, India Club all out in 32.5, up 32.4, 178. Witherers win by 144 runs.
Yep. Mahatesh Subramanian finishing with 4 for 32 on top of his 180-run partnership with Lloydie.
And pointing out,
a very good performance from him.
My mate from broadcast, Sanchan Mitto, playing for India Club All-Stars, did get 3 for 40.
He got me up.
Did he really?
He did. Yep.
Oh, that's it. That's a scalp to claim, isn't it? Well done to Sanchan. He's apparently bowling with a new action that he thinks is especially Bumrah action. Was it? That's what he's calling it.
Yeah, that's what you can call it that. With 108 on the back of his shirt.
Yeah, well, that's about as fast as your bowls now, you reckon. So there it is. At the end, I got more tips right than Botters. I got 4 right and Botters got 3. So I'm up to 38 and the guest is up to 33. So you've got some work to do coming up in ins and outs, Jason Lloyd.
I sure do.
Ins and outs next. All the upcoming action in cricket in Hong Kong. Take us away, Bushy.
Yes, ins and outs. Time to see this weekend's games. Not too many to get through, actually, due to there's internationals on that I'm calling and a two-day game up the hill. We're going to run through the Saturday games first, and then we'll talk about the two-day game. There's just the two Saturday Div 2 games this weekend in men's cricket. GDB first game, 1 p.m. is HKU versus the Centaurs.
My head says HKU, but my heart says Centaurs. Centaurs, not only are they Jamie Atkinson's former team, but they are also my first senior men's team who gave my start to
excellent
men's cricket. I'm going to go with the Centaurs.
I look forward to picking up another tip against the guest. I've gone with HKU. Hey, and the other game out at Campton, the Ask a Little Saiwan Thunder against the Punjab Lions.
I'm going with the Punjab Lions in that one.
You and I both. We're both going with Punjab. So one different so far. But, of course, the Hancock Shield coming up this weekend, the two-day game.
I have a feeling we're going to be picking opposite teams for this one, Rishi.
It's likely, but after the way I'm tipping, you should watch out for old HKCC.
I got to get one back for the guests.
Yeah, this is true. You could end up getting two back if Centaurs get up, which would be a miracle. Hancock Shield, two-day game every 2 years, goes up the hill called the Hancock Shield, comes down here called the Fincher Shield. Last year, KCC smashed HKCC all over in a day and a half. Going up the hill this year will be broadcast. There'll be one roaming camera and a roaming amount of free commentators, but it's not me. I believe Bodders might be going up. He's having a chat to
good to see another.
Dentesh, who's a running the broadcast up there for the audio, at least. Right, so I'm penciling you in for HKC soon?
Yeah, I mean, before I get to my pick, I just wanted to ask, so because it's the two innings, if it ends up as a draw, does it go on first innings runs?
Yeah, I remember that question coming up last year, and I can't remember. Ash Caddy, who is standing right next to us, though, probably could answer it. If it's only it doesn't finish the full game for the Hancock Shield, does it go on first innings?
It depends what halls you play. If it's between the two clubs or...
Oh, okay. Well, that didn't answer anything. Okay, we'll find out. Anyway, does that change your tip? I don't think it does.
Not at all. I'm going for HKCC. I think at home, we've got a full team out this week. It's an impressive batting lineup. Yeah, can't go against them.
All right. Well, we've gone different a couple of times. Only the three games this weekend in ins and outs. Well, check it out if you want to go. Check it out online. There will be a broadcast of the Hancock Shield 2 days on HKCC YouTube. And I think that might be it, but it might be on CHK as well. Always denied entry by the English gentry. Now we're driving Bentleys, playing 2020.
Yes, time for the women's cricket wrap. And joining us as always, Tammy Chu, who's joined me coming down from Tin Kwong Road Recreation Ground from the internationals. It's been a busy, busy few, well, days and weeks for us. Yeah, and we're going to start with the domestics before we get on to All-Stars and then eventually talk about the international series going on at the moment.
Yep, yep.
The tipping tally at the moment is 14 apiece, I believe, unless I've got that wrong, but I'm saying that I'm equal with you at the moment.
Yes, that's what I think.
Okay, yeah, last weekend it was the Link Fireflies up against the SCC Pinay. You picked the Pinay, I picked the Link Fireflies. What happened?
Yeah, the Link Fireflies got, was that 138 for six in 19.5 overs. Why didn't they bowl the last ball?
I've got 20 overs here on my screen. 138 for six.
Okay.
And chasing it down, Pinay.
Pinay got 127. So they are missing by 11 runs.
Yeah, so that means I get the tip. A big win for my favourite team, Link Fireflies. 53 for the youngster who we're going to talk about in both All-Stars and Internationals, Fatima Amir for Link Fireflies of 53. Story about that one, Tammy. Got a 53, left the game halfway through.
Yeah.
We picked up an award at the Sha Tin District for Best Athlete of the Year. And then came to All-Stars.
Yes, that's why I know, like, why am she not bowling? And it's marked her as, like, retired. And I was thinking, did she actually got injured? But then I saw her, like, playing in the All-Stars, so that's why I know.
Yeah.
She's leaving for the All-Stars.
She's just too talented and had to go pick up a quick award in between.
Yeah.
Okay, so I pick up the tip on that one. Next game is IC Velocity versus the Cavaliers. I went with India Club. And that was wrong. The Cavaliers, your team, teammate Stables from HKCC, got the win.
Yes, I have so many trust on the youngster. So, Winsey got 41 on 44, but then got bowled by Storm Parker, the youngster.
My son used to play with Storm at HKCC.
Yep.
Absolute up-and-coming legend that she is. Got 3 for 16, Storm Parker.
Yep, yeah.
And Vancey, top scoring, who I saw in the morning league. I think I might have mentioned that last week as well. But Vancey, I can't remember the surname at the moment, but 41 off 44 for IC Velocity.
Yes.
But in the end, not quite enough as they chased it down in the 19th. So we both got a tip there. We're even at the moment. And USRC forfeited the next game. So we both got a tip on that one as Lama got the win. So the tipping tally is 16 apiece. And we move on to this weekend's games. Out of PKVR Reservoir at 8:30 a.m. USRC Eagles versus IC Velocity. Well, we all know which one we're going to pick for this one, I think.
Yeah, when like if USRC is not forfeiting the game,
yeah,
even if they play,
Velocity's still going to win.
Yeah.
The Cavaliers versus Cavaliers. Now, one thing the Lee family love listening to this podcast. Mm-hmm. AD Lee's wife She was telling AD, he loves how it's always her team. Oh, it's AD Lee's wife's team.
Yeah.
Well, this is AD Lee's wife's team playing against the Link Fireflies named by me. So I guess you're going HKCC.
Yes, I still got my trust in the youngsters.
I like the Fireflies with the youngster Fatima Amir. They won't be playing probably. She'll be at internationals. Scary.
Ooh,
how many of the Cavaliers will be missing?
None.
Oh, dear. Anyway, I can't go against my Fireflies, so I'll just end up dropping that tip, perhaps. The rest of the team will stand up, I'm sure. And the final game out at PKVR on Sunday, it's SCC Pinay versus the Diamonds. Right, do I have to do my thing where I say, is this the team that's full of the new players at HKCC?
Yes, full of new players.
Okay.
And it's almost Christmas time, and I know that they might be missing some players as well, so I will go for the Pinay.
Well, you went for the Pinay last week and lost, but there might be a chance this week. We both go for SCC Pinay on that one.
Yep.
Right, let's move on to last weekend. We had the 3 days of All-Stars here in Hong Kong, thanks to DLA Piper, and that was fabulous. The Balhinia Stars up against the Jade Jets, I should say. And Friday, it was a win to the Jade Jets, but only just.
Yes, I mean, like the, well, let's see. JJ expecting first, getting 99.
We didn't think that was enough.
Yes, Yeah. Well, good performance by Yasmin, who's getting 35 runs, and then followed by Emma, who got in 29 runs. And then they only got 99. And, well, we do think it's not enough, but then good bowling from Betty from the Jacks, which got 3 wickets, including Dorothea, a China player, Liu Mengting, and also Mariam. She got Mariam out in 1 run. So so the Bohemians that only got 92 runs and then all out by the end. So the Jets win by 7 runs.
Yep, first blood to the Jade Jets. And then the next day, they got Balhinia Star, a big win to the Balhinia Stars in game 2 to level the series.
Yeah. I think, well, most of the team were back on Saturday because Friday, like, some kids need to do school, some need to work. And then I think the Bohemia, yeah, got most of their team. And then well done by another Carrie Chen. She got 40 runs of 27 with a strike rate of almost 150.
Her new favourite number is 4 after this game.
Yeah.
Got a 40 and a 4 for 4 of 4.
Yes, exactly. Well done for her on that day.
And player of the match. We've got to mention Yasmin Dazwani was player of the match in game 1. And Karen was player of the match in game 2, which means the third game in the series is going to be a final.
Yeah.
We played that on Sunday. Whoever wins won the big trophy for the DLA Piper 2024 All-Star Series. How did it go?
Bohemian Star start off batting with 109 runs. Well, Mariam did a great job on that day, 37 out of 37. Bowling-wise, I think everyone got a few wickets. There's some runouts as well. And then in the second innings, J-Jax were batting. And then good partnership with Natasha and Yasmin. Tash got 36 out of 38. And then Yasmin got 44 out of 46. And then even after they out, we still got Emma Puto. And then they chased the score in 18 overs, getting 112.
Yeah, a big win. Jade Jets are the 2024 champions. And Yasmin Dazwani picking up a second player of the match in that game. So we've done the All-Stars, which meant we moved into the international games, the 2024 Hong Kong Women's T20I Series. We got Namibia, Thailand, Hong Kong, China, and China in town. We've had 2 days already. We've just wrapped up day 2 as we've come down to KCC.
Yep.
Before a very noisy AGM meeting about to go ahead. Yeah, let's run through the games from yesterday and today.
Yeah, yesterday first match, it's Namibia versus Thailand.
Good match it was too.
It is. Well, Namibia started off really great. They got some big hitters hitting 4s and 6s.
And that's the captain, Sine Whitman.
Yeah.
42 for none they were at one point.
Yes. And then, well, they eventually, after a few wickets down, and then they got 94 for 7 by the end of 20 overs.
And we thought that was 10 to 15 runs short, and in the end it looked like it was against Thailand, who, well, they stumbled a little bit. The top order didn't really get many runs.
Yeah, the top 3 batsmen only got single digit. But then Chai Wai, the captain, stepped up, and then she got like 31 of 38. And then pair with Maya, I think her name, and that's, she got 28 out of 28 and then chase it in 18 overs.
And first win to Thailand, the highest ranked team in the international competition this year.
Yep.
And then the afternoon game, Hong Kong, China versus China, there was some fireworks.
Yes, it's amazing. The Hong Kong batting first with miracle centuries, 106 over 66 balls.
Her highest score ever in an international T20. Surpassing the 100 not out. She scored recently as well.
Yes. And then with the partners with Kerry, got a 52 of volleyballs not out.
Yeah, that partnership was like 158 or something. I can't remember the exact number. It was 150 plus.
Yeah.
177 in the books. And how did China do in reply?
China didn't do quite well. And then I would say our bowling, it's nice, good. And then everyone pick up at least 1 wicket. And then towards the end, they got Orales, I remember.
Yeah, so do I, but I'm not sure why. The 69, I think, that was the all-out score in the end. So it was a big win, over 100-run victory for Hong Kong China, and a good way to go into day two. The morning game, it was, let's see, who did play this morning?
Namibia versus China.
So China won the toss and surprisingly elected to bowl.
Bat first.
So they went out there, and to their credit, I think they batted. I think they batted right through the 20 overs. The wicket, yes. Last wicket falling on the last ball of the 20th over.
Yes, yes.
So then what did they put on? A bit less than they did against Hong Kong China. I think it's like 55.
55.
Look at that, from my memory. It was only 12 hours ago.
Yeah.
So then in reply, bang, wow, the two Namibian openers, the captain Sune Whitman and Adele van Zyl, just pumped it, almost scoring a half century. The captain, Whitman, they're only chasing 56 for victory.
Yes.
Smashed 48 herself.
Yes, I mean, if she hit it in her last ball, then she would got past 50 as well. But I think she only got like 2 runs off that. And so that's why the captain only got 48.
Ugly, off how many balls?
Yeah, off 20 balls.
Exactly.
Yeah, they chased it down in 4.1 overs.
And then in the afternoon, a very important match after Namibia picked up 1 loss, 1 win, which meant whoever played one in the afternoon's game between Thailand and Hong Kong China, they would go 2-0 and be top of the table. And Thailand winning the toss, electing to bat, and yes, they went out there and did a pretty good job with the bat.
Yes, yes.
Again,
exactly.
It was the captain, but all getting into double figures that all got
down
out
double
today.
Figures.
And it was a good all-round. And again, mid-like against China, extras were in the double figures for Hong Kong China as well, which is painful.
Yes.
But Chai Wai, the captain, again, scoring, I think, 37 off 30-odd.
31?
Yep. And only 2 boundaries in that, so a lot of running for ones and twos. Getting the score up to 137. Hong Kong China needing 138 in reply, but just didn't have it against that class bowling lineup that is Thailand.
Yes, I would say great work to Kerry. She got 20 and then got a, well, direct hit run out. That's what they.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to quickly talk about this because it happened in the Namibia game as well. There is one fielder at in the Thailand side named Sulaporn Laomai.
Laomai.
You do not run when she's anywhere near the ball. Yes, she had 2 direct hit runouts against Namibia. And then I was talking to Yazdaz last night on WhatsApp, and I said, I'll give you one tip. Coach Aaron says one tip. If you hit it anywhere near Sulaporn, do not run. And I said, oh, yeah, I remember her. She ran me out once.
Yeah.
And all through that innings from Kerry, every time the ball went anywhere near her, she'd yell, no, 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 to other batters trying to take off for singles. No, knows that arm. And then for some reason just forgot where she was fielding, took it on, got run out. And that was pretty much the collapse for Hong Kong China.
Yes. And then one of the player, Onicha Kopchompu, that's what I think, she got some of our main batsmen out as well. They go
4 wickets, 4 for 16.
She got Shansina out. She got Mariam out on a golden duck.
Yep. So she went on a hat trick at one point.
A hat trick, and then got Fatima out and got Ruchi out.
And also during that over bowling from Onicha, well, she took 2 wickets.
And that's the run now of one pair wheels. Yes.
So it was a disastrous over. We went from looking good to being in a whole world of herd of drinks and after drinks as well, and going down. I can't remember how much Hong Kong China lost by today.
69, what I thought.
That's
about
right as well. So that means come Saturday, rest day tomorrow in the internationals. It's Saturday morning. It's going to be
China versus Thailand,
which we expect Thailand to go 3-0 after that one. No offense to the China team, but they are developing.
Yep.
So that makes the Saturday afternoon game a semi-final. Whoever wins that between Hong Kong China and Namibia,
We'll go through the first
versus second final.
Yeah.
And whoever loses will end up playing probably against China in game one on Sunday.
Yes.
So it's a massively important game. And if you want to come down and watch, 2 p.m. at Tin Kong Direction, it's a free entry and great international cricket back in town. So much cricket going on. Tammy Chu, thanks for joining us on the Women's Cricket Wrap.
You're welcome.
And now it's time for my story, where the superstars of cricket come in and tell us their story.
My story time, and as we heard in the intro from Jason, he's going to bring in a special guest, and you've told us who it is, but introduce it to the crowd here at the podcast and the crowd that's around us while we're recording.
Yeah, my guest this week for my story is the legendary Mr. Afzal Haider. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, so we want to start from the beginning. So how did you first get into cricket? How did you fall in love with cricket? We would love to hear from you.
Like very early,
yes.
Beginning. Of course, you know, born and brought up in Lahore, where you have a cricket on the rooftops, in the streets, on the roads, everywhere. So that was the culture in the 80s. And though I think that was the best time of cricket in the world as well, 80s, 90s, when the cricket was like right at the peak. A lot of big names, big heroes around the world. When you have a four best all-rounders, people like Imran Khan, Ian Botham, Richard Hadley, and Kapil Dev. And then you have a lot of famous players in every international team, from Australia to England to Pakistan to India. So it was on the TV all the time. It was on the road, streets, everywhere. So this is where you basically get caught into, because everyone is doing it, same thing. And in Lahore, we had only two activities at that time. If you are a sports person, you in the ground somewhere, in the club training or running or doing some activity. If you're not, you're on the rooftop flying kites. So that was the only activities we had those days.
Which one were you doing?
I was doing both.
You can't go past a good kite fly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned all the legendary all-rounders in the 80s. Was there one that you particularly idolized?
Was definitely Imran Khan to start with. In bowling, my hero was Richard Hadley always. Because especially when he made a very, very big comeback in the 70s, he got through a big injury program, then his recovery program, and then luckily we saw those VHS tapes of him doing training and fitness. And that was something new in fast bowling, because that's what I think he was the one who introduced modern fast bowling with fitness and a lot of warm-up and other stuff, warm down, stretching and everything. Before that, maybe it was not very known. So he was my bowling hero. But as a role model, Imran Khan was, you know, for most of the people in Pakistan at that time or even subcontinent. And everybody wants to be a fast bowler. That was the reason, because West Indies had a sixth best fast bowler in the world at that time. England had a very strong bowling attack. Australia had Dennis Lilly, Thompson, and all those big names. Pakistan had Imran Khan, Sarfraz, and two others. And that was the era of maybe fast bowlers.
Which naturally inspired you to become a fast bowler.
That's something, of course, you see those people and value of them. When they go on the road, streets, and shopping malls, and driving around, people used to look at them and, you know, just want to have autograph and do be with them, and shake hand is a big thing for them, or taking autograph from them.
And in terms of the competitor cricket side, did you start at school? Did you start, was it club cricket for you? Or how did it all start?
To be very honest with you, I was playing just a street tennis ball cricket, not even a table, just a tennis ball cricket. And the first time we had a school team was going in a competition, in a school competition. Our school never had a opportunity to play in a school league because we didn't have a ground. But they entered our school as well for some reason, and they had a first-time trial ever, and I was just went for the trial. Didn't got selected for the bowling or batting or anything. And I was prefect in the class, and I was slightly better student. So the guy who was running the whole show, he was sports teacher. He was my class teacher as well. So he saw me, I'm like a very down, not very happy, and he asked me, what's the reason? It's like, I wanted to play for school, but he never played hardball cricket. But one thing you can do, we don't have any wicket keeper, just put your name there, so you're automatically selected. And then we'll see 1 month training program if we can get into the playing 11. This was my start. Not as a wicketkeeper, but getting into the team, I had to write my name in the wicketkeeping slot because they didn't have anybody.
So you lied your way into your entire cricket career is based on a lie back at school.
Not lie, I was told by the teacher, so at least you can get into the team, and then we'll see if you can fit into the something. I ended up open the bat for the school in a school league match. Even though we won the first one, we lost second one, we were out of the competition because knockout tournament. But the guy who was in charge of the school cricket, he was one of the club coach, he saw me, I don't know where he saw the potential. He said, you know, this guy have something. So he tried to get me into the club. He said, when your exam finished, why not you come on a training in the club? Luckily, the whole school team went on a training with the same club, which was closest to our school. And out of the whole team, it was two people who they were focusing on. One was left arm spinner, and I was somebody who was running fast and trying to bowl fast. But my coach, club coach, always had like faith in me, and he always used to think I have something in me. So bowling, batting, I was doing both in the club. I didn't get any opportunity in the club because we had about 45 people and only two teams in a competition. So most of the time I was going with the team as a scorer, and if they shot a player or somebody wants to go out, I used to go and field. And it took me 2 years to get the first club match. So from 14 to 16, I didn't play a single match for the club.
Okay.
But I never missed a single training in 2 years. And it's a training,
no, I watch.
Training 5 days a week. It's not like, you know, Tuesday, Thursday in Hong Kong or Australia, England. 5 days and minimum five hours every day. So 2 to 7 every day.
That's impressive.
So imagine if you're not getting any opportunity in the nets because all the seniors are bowling and batting and you're not getting any opportunity in the matches and you're still keen to go and play. Only thing that I was doing it, all people like me, 8, 9, 10 of them, the assistant coaches take us on the behind of the nets and throw downs and catching practice and fielding classics and spot bowling. That's what you used to do. After a long, we get the opportunity in the nets.
So how did you go from that to playing representative cricket and ended up playing first-class cricket for Lahore?
Well, it was purely because interest was there, focus was there, and I had so much support from my club. I got introduced to before even playing for a club high standard cricket, I got selected in Punjab under 16, which was Lahore under 16 to start with. And I had no idea. All my friends were telling me you should go on the trial, and it was just 1,400 people came for the trials. And I was like, I'm not going to get selected because most of them, they were playing for 2 or 3 years already. And that was my second year in the cricket, with the hardball cricket. But that, like, a lot of my friends who are already playing under 16, they said like, oh, you're definitely going to get in. You have a good run up, good action, blah, blah, blah. I didn't have a courage to go. I didn't go first day, didn't go second day because I wasn't sure. But third day, they took me by force. Like, they took me and enrolled me. And the selector said like, why you didn't come yesterday and day before? I said like, I wasn't really sure I'm going to get into it, but too many people as well. So he smiled at me, said, okay, what's your name? So I write down my name. I bowl only 5 or 6 bowl in the nets. He's like, you know, no problem. They put my name in for the next day. So from 1,400, he can go on to 200, then 100, then 50. And then they have a camp of 25 for 1 month. And I got into those 25. And my name came in a newspaper. This is how I got the permission from home to play cricket. When they saw my name on the newspaper, my parents especially, dad was a police officer, very tough guy, didn't want me to play cricket because he think it was too competitive. He was big fan of me to say like, why not you go in athletics or individual sports where you can make your way easily. Cricket, everyone is playing cricket in Pakistan, especially in Lahore and Karachi, two big cities. So it's going to be too hard to go through the process. But I said like, this is the only sport I like. So then he started encouraging me, started giving me a permission to go and play. Before he was like, no permission. So I was like only going on a training after the school if I'm finishing my homework and all that, which I was make sure that I do my homework properly, get my grades good so I can keep getting the permission from dad. But then once I start seeing my name on the newspaper and all that, that was the thing. That's okay, no problem. The kid is serious. You know, you're getting somewhere now. Then I played under 16 for Lahore division, which was like I scored 50 in a very, very tough situation in that game. And I took 2 wickets with the new ball. Didn't get the second spell because we had too many bowlers in that team. And the same selector, luckily the selector was like 3 ex-Pakistan players. 2 of them were ex-Pakistan captains. And they played for India and Pakistan. They were like a very, very, you know, highly respected people. So nobody can come and tell them like who is good and bad because they were already big in cricket.
Mm-hmm.
So same selector we had for under 19. So I had that privilege. So they already saw me bowling and batting with under 16. So I got selected for under 19. And then I never looked it back afterward because with that under 19 thing, I got admission in college. It's not on my marks, but on my sport base. One of the best institutions in Lahore.
So that was a cricket scholarship.
Yeah. Okay. And the good thing with college cricket, you used to get 2 to 3 matches every week for 6 months. And you have a club matches, league matches on the weekend. And then you have, during the week, you have college matches. And if you do well in college matches, you get selected for the university competition. And that was the key thing for me because with that, I got selected for universities, Punjab universities to start with. Then we call a thing called combined universities in Pakistan. So out of 30 plus universities those days, they used to select the team and they used to give the match against the opposition who are coming, come from like England or Australia. They're touring to Pakistan. They used to play first match against combined universities. That was the culture maybe in England as well, in Pakistan as well, those days. So I got selected against England A for Pakistan universities.
Oh, wow.
And I played that cricket before I played first class. Like, and this is how I got into, with that game, already was like famous in my club and in an area, cricketing circle in Lahore.
Do you remember any names that played for that England A team?
I remember I got Mark, Ram Prakash and Nasir Khan out.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's two England legends, right?
They have they had a Bicknell, Tupnell, Andy Katak, and the tall fast bowler, Fraser, lot of those guys, Salisbury, they all played for England afterward. That was England's
successful Larry Arts. Yeah.
Big names in that team. Like, you know, they were, Mark Ram Prakash was there as well. Hugh something was captain of that team. I don't know what was the first name because he didn't play much afterward that day. But that was the start, and then I got selected for a university team in a first class match. We qualified because you had to qualify to play first class. The university team qualified a year before. So luckily I played first class for Pakistan universities before. And then with that performance, he was already playing under 19 and grade 2 for Lahore for a few years. And then I got into the first class side. And with that, I think the door opened for me for the whole world. And once I played first class, I was like, got a contract in England to play as a professional. Then from there, same agent took me up in Australia to play professional cricket in Australia. So, because to me, that was the 90s, early 90s, and we had more than 50 fast bowlers who were quicker than me. If I was bowling 145 to 147, they were close to 150. And they were who are regular player for the first class matches, play for their domestic representative teams and for Lahore City. And I was somewhere in a third tier. You know, you have a team, people who are representing Pakistan, and then you have people who are representing cities and the departmental sides. And with people like me who are playing maybe 2-3 first class matches in a season, and a lot of one day list A matches and 3-day matches. And I was like, it might take another 5 to 10 years to reach on that level. So I had opportunity to play in England. So I moved from Lahore to England to play season, came back, played for Lahore again, done the same thing next year again. And then my agent asked me, like, you know, you're not playing so many matches first class for Lahore because there are too many fast bowlers there. So why not you play in Australia? So you skip your season. And that can help you to make more money. And of course, playing in Australia, the standard is more higher.
Where did you play in Australia?
I played in South Australia. First season for Adelaide, and then 3 seasons for East Torrens District Cricket Club, and last season I played for Port Adelaide.
Okay, so for a couple of years you were playing as a pro, you're doing the UK summer and then the Aussie summer back to back.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And what was it? Was there a culture shock for you when you first went over? What were some of your memories?
It was very fast to first season because I was the only Asian guy first when I went to England to play season there. It was language barrier as well to start with because I was very good in writing and reading English but never had the opportunity to speak to people and didn't have a courage or confidence. But then, of course, it became very easy because cricket is an English game and a lot of things you discuss, it like the English name, English thing. So, you know, it took like only a few months to get used to it. At least I had opportunity after first season. I was like trying to build a conversation with the people, try to talk to them and, you know, when they tried to ask me something, I used to reply them nicely. And slowly, going in Australia, there was another issue because there's a completely different accent there, the different style, and they're a bit aggressive as well.
What do you mean, mate?
Well,
what are you talking about?
Well, I had the major issue I had in Australia was like they love me with my performances and bowling. They hate me by not sledging the opposition and the batters out because I used to say, like, once you get the batsman out, you don't need to say anything. You win the match already. You win the competition already. And they used to say, no, this is now it started. If you sledge him, if you send him off all the way, the next person will be more maybe scared from you. But that was not the thing I learned from my culture because the environment and culture I come through, you have to be very, very downwards. If you say these kind of things, if you sledge, that means you are, you know, you have a Bad attitude.
Bad attitude, or you think you're too big in your boots. So we're like a completely different culture.
We definitely thought there was less of that.
But like I was once in like, I'll tell you one story in Pakistan. I was playing for my main club in a Super League, which was one of the best in Lahore. The captain asked me not to bowl bouncer. That used to be my favorite thing when I was a teenager. And the guy who was on the strike, he had 45 first-class hundreds. And he played for Pakistan. He said he's a very good opening batsman. He loves short pitch bowling. If you bowl him bouncer, he'll get used to the condition of the wicket and the pace of the wicket, and then you won't be able to get wicket whole day. I bowled bouncer to him. Second ball, accidentally bowled bouncer to him because I was so much under pressure from captain. He kept on saying to me. And the third ball, I got him out on a bouncer. And instead of like, you know, encouraging me, saying anything to me, he said, like, thank you very much. Take your sweater and go out. You're not bowling anymore. So there was a discipline. This is how they teach you discipline if you're not listening to your captain or your senior. So that was the culture in where we grew up in club cricket in Pakistan, where you have to be disciplined, honest, simple, straightforward. Or where you go to Australia, where you have a luxury of saying things in a decent way, you know, and, you know, giving hard time to opposition. The good thing was in Australia, it was very professional. And doesn't matter whatever you do during that game, after that game, you're all sitting together, having drinks, having food, or having a conversation for hours. We didn't have that in Pakistan. Like in we used to sit after that game along, but not with opposition. Always used to be within our team, within our group. But the good thing was like it was competitive on the field, not off the field. And people used to even like very, very close friends, you know, with opposition and other teams. And they used to go out and on the weekends after the games in different places. And I learned so much because even though I played more than 83-day matches before moving to Australia, but that two-day cricket was more tough because the wickets were good for fast bowlers. But at the same time, everybody was so good playing fast bowler and short pitch delivery. So I had to get my line right. I had to bowl in certain areas. And the coaches I was working with, I was very lucky that we had this guy who was club coach who already played Sheffield Shield cricket for quite a few years. And the guy had about 700-800 wickets in District A grade cricket. Very good fast bowling coach. And he was still playing a little bit cricket for a C and D grade. But he was like a very soft-spoken, very nice guy, knew the tricks and skills. I was cutting the ball away always off the wicket. But he thought like, my grip is not right. So he saw me doing it. He said, yes, you are doing it. If you change your grip, you can even do better than this. You can have better control. You can do more. So I listened to him. So it helped me a lot.
Okay.
And it was completely different when you're going from a culture where you train 5 days a week and you're playing cricket every day, where you have training only Tuesday, Thursday night, afternoons, only for 2 hours. And those 2 hours, you bowl only 40 to 45 ball maximum. So once you get to your line right, you're done. You go to do something else. You can do through downs, you can do high catching, slow catching, you know, straight catchers. And they have a fielding coach waiting for somebody who's finished bowling, take him in a main oval. And they have somebody for throwdown always. There's an A grade, a B grade training together, then a C and D grade training together in other days. And they have like a lot of helping staff, like a lot of volunteers in the clubs in Australia. Same thing maybe in England, but Australia was slightly better in terms of quality standards in the 90s. And you're not wasting a single minute of those 2 hours during the club.
So it was more efficient training.
Yeah.
So having played cricket in Pakistan, UK, Australia, how do you end up in Hong Kong?
Well, I saw Hong Kong Sixes in 1997 on the TV in Australia, and that was something was very appealing. That was the first thing. But I was passing by when I was playing first season in Australia in 95-96. I had my cousins living here in Hong Kong. They're born and brought up here in Hong Kong. So they asked me, like, why you going to Australia? Why not you stop by in Hong Kong? You know, we haven't seen for so many years to each other. It's like, I have my season starting in a couple of days. I don't have much time, but I can stay like 7-8 hours on the airport and meet you guys there. Well, they came on the airport, Kai Tak Airport, took me out. We went to the Chung King Mansion. We had a quick lunch. We didn't have enough time to go home.
because they used to live in Singi those days. So, like, you know, if we go back there, it's going to be a long time. So why don't we go to Chungking Mansion? We had a lunch there. We discussed things. And that was the only memory of Hong Kong. Down the line, I played 5-6 seasons in Australia. I was engaged in 1997 with a girl who was born and brought up in Hong Kong. I never knew that she had a British passport or she was like had a Hong Kong citizenship or anything. I went by Pakistan for the marriage. We got married and then we like planned either to go to Australia or stay in Hong Kong, Pakistan or do some business. We came here actually on a honeymoon trip just for 1 week. And I went back. I stayed like the season was almost end of the season. I think there was the Pakistan club and Scorpion final for the cup. I went to see that match in HKCC. And they had 4 or 5 guys in the Pakistan club who I have played with in Pakistan. It was like Salim Malik, Najib, and there was another guy who left Hong Kong afterward. And they tried to convince me to come back and play for them. It's like, I have no plan to play cricket. I've done enough already. I was like 27 at that time, 28. But then they Lil Saiwan and Pakistan, they were in my contact with me. They always keep on sending messages and email, like, you know, why don't you come back and play for us? And I met a few guys in HKCC. I still remember Gavin Erasmus, he was there. He was, I think, captain of cricket at that time. So Gavin asked me, if you come back, please, you know, be with me for a lunch and we'll discuss further. He was a nice guy, lovely person. Then I ended up coming back because my wife was expecting and like, she's like, can you come back and help me to go through the process of going to see the doctors because I don't want to go alone. First kid, you know, lot of things, lot of excitement as well. So I had to come back in April again. And then ended up talking to these people, negotiating. HKCC offered me to play for them, but I want some kind of guarantee money or some kind of guarantee so I can live here, make my living out of it. CHK was really, really nice at that time. Cricket Hong Kong, they offered me straight away under 13.
This is in maybe 2000?
2000, yeah. And they offered me coaching, you know, under 13, under 15s, helping those juniors. HKCC offered me to run their program on CHK behalf, Cricket Hong Kong behalf, the Gappers program. Mark Byrne was general manager at that time, so he offered me straight away if we can take either one of the clubs. Lal Jai Singh was Hong Kong head coach. He didn't want to leave KCC, so he said, okay, why not you stick with HKCC and I'll do here. So I started running program in HKCC for a season and
something
half.
Something I didn't know, but you started off playing for Lil Saiwan, is that correct?
I was playing for Lil Saiwan.
I'm a proud KCC man. All of this.
No, to be very honest with you, if I wanted to play cricket in Hong Kong, my target was always KCC, but the KCC was the only club. They never responded my email. They didn't want it. They were not interested at all. The only good club was like, they were like trying to get me in either Lil Saiwan, Pakistan Club or HKCC. HKCC, I was living in Singi, was a bit too far for me. That was the main reason. Even though I was going there every Saturday morning for the coaching, I used to go in afternoon for the coaching, private coaching with few people. I had a John Hung. He used to come back from England. You know, what was his name? John Hung's son, right? Sean Hung. The tall guy.
Not Sean.
He was like a 11, 12-year-old. I was doing private coaching with him. Even I'd done private session later with Natasha Miles and a lot of other kids. Smithy. And a like, lot of people who left HKCC already, you know, the South African family, I used to go there and coach their kids. And that was like a part-time thing. I was doing German Swiss International School. I was doing American International School. I was doing Australian International School. I had a Hong Kong International. A lot of international schools I always had on my side to run their coaching programs for 1 hour, 1.5 hour, 2 hours. So that was my livelihood started. And the Cricket Hong Kong was very helpful for that. They were the one who asking schools and, you know, sending me because I was the only qualified coach at that time in Hong Kong who had all his coaching certification from Australia. Lal was like a similar standard. Lal done the coaching courses. I think he done after me. He done level 1 before after me, then level 2. When I came here, then he went for level 2.
Okay.
work with him. He was a very hardworking person. He used to work so good on a grassroots level with the kids. He was very hardworking, very keen person. He used to talent hunt. He used to go to schools, clubs, and street, and wherever he finds somebody playing cricket, he used to bring those people in the system. And I was, you know, always work with him in a different program. I used to travel with him in the 13 and the 15s. I remember first tour I went to in 2001 or 2 with the Hong Kong under 13 to Thailand. And Mark Chapman was 10 and a half year old. And he was our captain for under 13. Amitan Khatri, Alex Smith, and a lot of those guys. You know, Nizakit was there. Izaz was in that team. Zoid Khan. That was my first introduction to these people. And there was like a lot of talented kids in that group. And they... all the way they went to under 13 to 15, under 17, under 19. I ended up working with them in under 19 in later as well, all the age groups. The thing was I wanted to play for KCC, but KCC was not interested at all in the beginning. The first match I played against in Fiddle, took my revenge. I took 8 wickets with a hat-trick, hit 3-4 people only.
This is with a little server.
And then they started asking, yeah, why are you not playing for us? Why are you playing for us? Like, you know, you guys never responded. The Damien Green used to be the captain for the Infidels, and he played for Tasmania, Sheffield Shield. Very good cricket. He scored 200 in the league match. You know, he was the first person I scored 200 in Hong Kong in Sunday League at those days. The next match was against, I think, Vagabond, but third match against Templars. I took 7 for against Templars, including Hong Kong best player, Rahul Sharma. I challenged him before the game. He said, like, you know, I heard so much about him, so I really want to see you playing against me, see how good you are. He's like, okay, boss, let's see who wins the race. It took me 13 overs to get him out. We used to be 15-over limit, and I used to bowl 15 or trot, you know, because that was to get the opposition out as much as you can. And that was a luxury. And straight after that, you know, people like Shroy Wacha, they were very useful people. They kept on talking in the club.
No, he's actually in the bar right now.
Not often Shroy is ever referred to as a useful person.
He was a useful person for me because he was the one who making ground for me.
He was last week. Yeah.
Start talking to the committee and like, you know, we have to have this guy because I got hat-trick on his brother.
Oh, that probably was the older brother.
Older brother. Yaman Wacha. Yeah. Yeah, he was an ex-Hong Kong captain. He was selected as well. Good cricketer he was in Wachaza. He was the only cricketer in Wachaza, to be very honest with you. And this is how I got, you know, they had the season finishes and KCC offered me if I can run the summer program for them. Because I was doing summer camp for my academy. I made that academy out of those people who didn't get enough opportunities. Because I started coaching in Alice Kuduri once in a week. And in LS Kuduri, they have no funds, no cricket balls, no equipment, no uniforms. And they still wanted to play cricket. But they had a very, very strong hockey team. And they have a lot of good and very, very skilled cricketers as well because they used to play a lot of tennis ball cricket, table cricket there. They never played the hardball cricket before that. And there was the group where you can see Atif, Hussain, Asif, Puran Shiva.
Nazarka Khan also came from
CK. Yeah, those guys. And then I was Mushi. Atik was very young at that time as well, like very small. Mushi was like, you know, under 11 kind of a boy. And all those guys, I put them together in a team. He was Usman Manj, his elder brother, Salman Manj. Few guys who played for Saiban afterward, those guys. They're very, very good bunch of, you know, talented kids. I put them in my academy team and then booked the India Club. India Club renovated the facilities first time in 2000. So got the facility, started running my academy on the side free of charge because I wanted some people to help as well. Same time I was making money on the other side. And I had to make 2 teams of all age groups in my academy. So I was making money from one team, people who can afford, and spending on other group who couldn't afford. But those who couldn't afford, they had ability to play. They have interest to play. They have time to play. Because those are the kids who are going in a school that I feel always felt sorry for them because they never had opportunity to finish their education because they didn't have enough, you know,
depth in their family backgrounds in terms of education, in terms of finance or money or anything. They didn't have opportunities. If they got those opportunities, they could have been, you know, brilliant kids outside cricket, but they were good cricketers. And those people who had time to play the game, and they're still playing cricket, most of them, or involved in cricket somehow, because, you know, that was their passion for the life. They struggled in their life in terms of, you know, making their living out of it, the family crisis, a lot of things happened with them, but they never, ever left the cricket.
Gentlemen and players play Sunday afternoon. 30
teams, three leagues, Hong Kong's finest. It's Challenge League time.
Time now for the Challenge League. I am Sans Bushy for today's segment. Will do my best to keep this short, sharp, and sweet, and Bushy will chime in with his picks towards the end. So last week we had a total of 6 Challenge League games. Those of you who are keen listeners may have realized that we only picked on 5 due to my own lack of preparation. So let's start off with the first match that neither of us picked on, Asians United versus IRC Charlie Bears on 1st December. Over at Gin Drinkers Bay, 8 a.m. start. Scoreboard says 7:55 a.m. So early start down there. The Asians United batting first, 147 for 9 in their 20 overs. Held together by Rashid Mahmood, who scored 58 not outs, scored his 50, retired, and had to come back in to make sure they could put up a score to defend. No one else in his lineup crossing 20 in the wickets for the Charlie Bears. Our favorite umpire, Akbar Muhammad, 4 for 22 in his 4 over. He's been in some good form this season. There were also wickets for Ubaid Khan and Azam Muhammad and Bilal Muhammad, picking up one expensive wicket. In reply to Charlie Bears Challenge League, they lost an early wicket. They lost a wicket on the second ball of the innings, in fact. The first ball went for 4, second ball wicket. But they were cruising throughout the chase, never really in much trouble until a bit of a middle order wobble. 95 for 4, 104 for 5, 107 for 6 in 15 overs, chasing 148 to win. So, you know, it was close there for a moment. But Majid Khan and Talat Haya batting down the order together strung 41 runs in the next 4 overs in order to ensure that the Charlie Bears could get there with an over to spare. 148 for 6, their final score. 38 for Mehran Khan, top of the order, their top scorer. But Majid Khan's 22 of just 15 and Talat Haya 18 of 12, proving instrumental. For Asians United, it was only Reki and Navdeep Singh in the wickets, 3 for 30 turns, 4 overs. A couple of other wickets taken, but not enough as Charlie Bears pick up a massive victory there in Division 1. In the second Division 1 game last week that we did pick on, and that we both got wrong, Chinghe Smashers going down the CSRHK Frontiers. The Frontiers pulling up one of the major upsets of the season. We saw them struggling when they were promoted up to Division 1 in the offseason, but this past weekend, they got their first win in that Division 1 championship, and they looked against Chinghe Smashers. Nonetheless, Chinghe Smashers, a top of the table team, batting first, sent into bat first, and were bowled out for just 121. 26 from Avesh Saxena and 24 from Girish. Not much to write home for the Chinghe Smashers. Mahesh Kumar, the captain, leading from the front, 3 for 16, and Shell taking 3 for 13. Who is Shell, you might ask? He just goes by one name, Shell, on cricket with no previous matches. But he took 3 wickets, and that wasn't all. He came out bat in the second innings. The CSRHK Frontiers got off to a bit of a slow start. They were 87 for 3 in 15.2 overs. So the game was still there in the balance. But Shell, coming in, smacked 24 not out of 11 balls to finish off the chase. There was also 30 not out of 38 balls from Subhayu Hasankar. So Shell there was a player of the match performance, bat and ball to win the game for the Frontiers. But who is Shell? I did send a message down to the captain, Mahesh, of the Frontiers. And he tells me his full name is Takshila Samadhi. And he's a long-term player for the Frontiers, having played for them for 3 years. So don't be fooled by what you see on Cricket Heroes. Shell is a veteran of the Frontiers and delivered with both ball and bat to take them to their first victory in Division 1. So good win there for the Frontiers. And both of us picked that wrong. So, well done. On to the next game. In the past week, it was a long weekend. We had a of 6 matches, 2 Division 1 games, just 1 in Division 2, which also Bushy and I called wrong. We both went for the GOAT. It was Mark Hoare versus Yao Tsamong District Team. We went for the GOAT. The GOATs, USRC Mark Hoare, got off to a strong start. They were 100 for one in 9.5 overs. Opener Mohammad Ahmed bring up his 50 of just 30-31 balls. Sohail Anwar at the other end, 40 of 29. They lost an early wicket, but they bounced back quickly. 100 for one in 9.5. At that point, at GDB, you're looking at 200. Instead, they collapsed all out for 145. 3 for 6 for Safwat Khair Rahim, 3 for Arvind, and a couple of wickets to Captain Gaurav. In reply, Yao Tsimong district team never in any trouble. They were going about it a bit slowly. 34 and 35, Daniel Raj, a couple of other contributions up and down the order. But it was that man again, Safwat Khair Rahim, not happy with just taking 3 for 6 and 3 overs with a maiden. Also scored 48 not out of just 32 balls to guide his side home to victory. They had 6 wickets and 6 balls to spare. All in all, making it look easy. The Yao Tsimong Cricket District team. A good win for them over the USRC Mark Hores. And another pick that Pushy and I both got wrong. At this point in the segment, you're wondering, do either of us actually pick the game correct last weekend? Well, yes, we did. Down to Division 3. We both picked HKU students to get over the Rising Stars. And they did so in some style. Bushy copied my pick on this. I'm the one in the know, and I called it. ATU students assembling a really good team this season. Batting first had come in. Fun fact, they showed up with just 8 players. Bushy's going to like, that's just 8 players. As I called it, they had final exams that day. They couldn't get together a full 11. They had 8 players. They rock up at Compton and bat first, win the toss, score 234 for 6. Definitely makes it a lot easier to defend the score with 8 players when you have 234 on the board. Ryan Mateen Qureshi, University Cricketer of the Year, 49 of 33 opening the batting. 50 avoidance there. Kedar Suleiman, 40 of 22, but 50 from Adnan Naseem Buck to highlight. 28 balls, 3 fours, and 5 sixes. There were contributions also from Bunce Jain, Venkat Reddy Nellor, Rutsvik as he's normally known, and Vinay K. Gautam. The bowling from the Rising Stars, Shihan Sivanandam Audrey, we know him to be a quality left arm spinner, has played in the Hong Kong under 16, under 19 setups, 4 for 30 in his 4 overs, but really not much else for the Rising Stars. In response, Shihan once again with the bat, 44-30, the highlight of his innings. As they crumbled, they were 32 for 5, they were 75 for 7, they were 107 for 9. Manjula Chaminda, 39 of 22 to save some face. 38 extras altogether. Little Saiwan Rising Stars 170 for 9. Ryan Mateen Qureshi, 49 in the first innings, 5 for 33 in the second innings. Incredible all-round performance from the University Cricketer of the Year last season. Bunce Jain taking 3 for 40 in his 4 overs as well. The HKU students do it easy. Win by 64 runs with 8 players. I know they have a final exams. And I know that's why they couldn't play, but honestly, the only finals they should be worrying about in this form are the Challenger League final. Well done to them, and that's pick. Chennai got right. Well done to both of us. Next game in Division 3 that we also picked correctly, also down to Compton. This is brutal. Lantau Sloggers versus HKCC Yanwo. The Sloggers win the toss, bat first. And I'm not going to read you the individual scores. I'm just going to read you the strike rates of the entire team. 378.57. 211.11, 216.67, 196.30, 231.25, 152.38, 231.25, and 250. There's one man in there, Shakil Haq, probably the best, most accomplished cricketer in that team, who scored 1 out of 3 balls, probably because he felt guilty for the carnage that was happening around him. Lantau Sloggers slugged their way to 316 for 5 in their 20 overs. There are 50s for Hassan Mahaz Tahir. There's a couple of 30s, a couple of quick 10s and 20s. You don't need to hear all the details. It was brutal. The Yanwo in reply, 133 all out. Jonathan Tank, 40 of 32. Nice little innings from him. A couple of contributions. Two wickets apiece for Shakil Haq, Abdul Osman, Mazhar Hussain, Ashok Zulkarnain, and Abdul Shajil Ahmad. Clear the match, going to Abdul Osman, who took 2 wickets and hit 39 of 18, but really a proper comprehensive team effort by the Lantau Sloggers, winning by the massive 183 runs. That'll do the net run rate a world of good. And it's another pick right for Bushy and I. So at the moment, the picks dead even between Bushy and myself. 2 wrong, 2 right, and 1 we didn't pick. It's down to the final game in Division 3 to decide who goes ahead on the tipping tally. HKU Belchers versus Lama Vikings at Compton. HKU Belcher CC batting first, scored 183 for 6. Manish Boyad, 50 opening batting. And Anshul Jawal, down to number 7, 55 not out of 21 balls. a really solid batting effort from the Belchers. The Vikings using 10 bowlers in the innings. Everyone except the keeper got an over down there at Compton. And they were up against a massive target, 184 to run in 20 overs. And at the halfway mark, they were 60-2. Not looking good for the Lama Vikings. I had, of course, picked the HQ Belchers. Bushy picking the Lama Vikings. It all went wrong from there. The 11th over about 12 runs. The 12th over about 14 runs in a wicket. The 13th over about 15 runs. Mark Connell, Kalpa Surveer smashing it everywhere. The 14th over about 18 runs with two more sixes to Mark Connell. At this point, in the space of those four overs, had gone from 60-2 to 119-4. And then comes a biggie. The 15th over, 12 balls and 25 runs. Six wides, three fours and a six, and one dot ball sneaking in there. Massive, massive over. Swung the game to the Lama Vikings' favor. 144-5 at 15 overs. Mark Connell shortly after retires with his 50 coming off just, you count that, 21 balls. Absolutely ridiculous innings. 155-5 in 16 overs. Made it look easy. They chased down 184 to win with 13 balls to spare. Lama Vikings going up by 5 wickets. What a fantastic win for Lama Vikings. Bushy copped some heat over the weekend for picking against Lama in the Saturday League, and I've now copped it for picking against them in the Challenge League. Great weekend for Lama CC. Bushy goes ahead on the tip tally. I can't believe I've allowed that to happen. And that's that for last weekend. Let's quickly now wrap up what's coming up in the upcoming weekend. Not as big a weekend. You know, we had 6 Challenge League games last weekend. This weekend, just the 3 games I can find out about. 2 in Division 1 and 1 in Division 3. And these are going to be tough to pick. Division 1 especially, we've got the Strikers versus the Caribbeans, the Tung Chung Cricket Club Derby, TCC Strikers and TCC Caribbeans up at GDB on Sunday at 8 a.m. I'm going to hedge my bets on the TCC Caribbeans. I think they've beat a better team so far. They've lost a better team so far, the Strikers. Not a bad sign, and really anyone can win on their day, but I'm gonna support the Caribbeans for this one in Division 1. Other game that's going to be tough to pick, Master Blasters versus PAC Golden Stars. TCC Golden Stars not having picked up a win yet, but just narrowly losing to Ching East Master, while Master Blasters do have a win over the TCC Strikers, but have lost to the TCC Caribbeans and to another team in the league. If my homework's correct, I may be completely wrong. It's been a while since I researched this. Anyways, that's going to be a really good game up there. Golden Stars yet to get a win. I have a feeling this might be the day they get their win. So I'm going to guess Golden Stars up there, GDB, and I'm going to guess TCC Caribbeans. I'm going to let Bushy but in his picks for Division 1. And Division 3, I think Bushy and I might pick the same on this one. It's Belchers versus Sloggers. Based on the evidence we've just seen this past weekend, the Sloggers love the slog. The Belchers copped a bit of flack, the bowlers. So I'm going to say the Sloggers are going to ride that momentum and pick up the win. That's also at GDB on Sunday in between the 2 Division 1 games at 11:10 a.m. That's it for the Challenge League from the Tesh. Back to Bushy.
And now, it's time for Bushy's Birthday Bonanza.
Yes, birthday time, Jason. And we've got quite a few birthdays to get through this week for the podcast. I'm not sure you've got any list in front of you, so you're just going to get excited as I read them out.
I'll do my best.
Former KCC Crusader, Parth Bhagwat, will be turning 19 on the 7th, which is what day? I've lost track. Saturday.
Happy birthday, Parth.
Yeah.
Also played against him before.
You have?
I have indeed.
Yep. Also celebrating a birthday, but ageless, because I don't know exactly what year he was born. The head of cricket ops at Cricket Hong Kong, China, one Ravi Nagdev.
The boss. Happy birthday, Ravi.
My big boss. Having a birthday on Saturday. He'll be celebrating it down at the All-Stars. Not the All-Stars. The Internationals at Tin Kwong Road Recreation Ground. Well, maybe we'll have a cake or something. That'd be exciting. Arush Garg from KCC, also not around at the moment, turning 18 on the 8th. This one you'll like. On the 9th, so Monday, after the two-day game, Kinshit Shah having a birthday, turning 29.
Happy birthday, Kinshit.
Yeah. And
actually, speaking of Arush, I'm his bunny. I've got out to him twice in league matches, I believe.
Do you want a story about a real bunny? Right. Go for it. So in the All-Stars, the women's All-Stars, young Mahek Deep Kaur has got one player out six times in the last six games of All-Stars.
That's consistency right there.
It is. Could you guess which player it is?
I have no idea.
Carrie Chan.
Oh.
Just talking about bunnies, like there's a curse on
there. That's a proper bunny right there.
I'm just getting a message from Ravi Nagdev asking me to guess how old he is. I'm going to guess because Jason's told me. He said, Jason, can you say this on the podcast what age you think he is so when he yells at me?
Oh, I might get in trouble for this. I don't know. I'm going to leave it to you.
How do you get in trouble? I get in trouble. I actually answer to him. You just play for the Dragons.
Well, that's true.
Don't guess?
I'm going to guess around 45.
Okay. 45, which is a lie because you told me 46. So I've typed in 45. We'll find out how old Ravi Nagdev is turning on Saturday. 47.
Oh.
So your actual guess was still wrong. Turning 47 on Saturday for Ravi Nagdev. Kinshit's turning 29 on Monday. On Tuesday, turning 33, another player from the Hancock Shield, Atiq Iqbal.
The legend.
Yes, indeed.
Happy birthday, Atiq.
And then 2 days later, we completely failed to mention it, but turning 53 on the 12th of December, Afzal Haider.
Our guest.
Afzal turning 53, and we forgot to wish him happy birthday. That's happy. On you. That's on you.
I will do that. I will have to do that in person. Yeah. Happy birthday, Afzal.
Absolutely. What a great bunch of birthdays we've got this week. Parth Bhagwat, Ravi Nagdev, Harush Garg, Kinshit Shah, Atiq Iqbal, and Afzal Haider. Rounding out this week's birthdays. Happy birthday to you all.
That's very KCC heavy, that.
Always is. Hi, this is Atiq Iqbal from Hong Kong, China national team, and you're listening to 852 Broadcast with Bushy.
Yes, that brings to an end the podcast, episode 13. Jason Loy, thanks for joining us as a guest host and a great My Story guest you brought in this week. And we forgot to wish him happy birthday, but apart from that, it was a great yarn.
Glad to be here, and great to have I was on the show.
Yeah, and you said you have to go wish him happy birthday in person.
I shall do that.
We also covered all the games of cricket. Talk a little bit more about Hancock Shield, which we touched on as we were moving through. You're looking forward to that one. Are you? You're playing?
I am not, but I'll be up the hill watching.
Yeah, well, you did actually list the team after we recorded that little bit. That's a very strong side for HKCC. Including David Jakia and most of the
regular Premier League squad are in.
Yeah, and the Hong Kong China players as well.
Yep, everyone's back.
And the team for KCC got released after we recorded that little bit and found out that Bubba Hyatt, we know, is at Nepal for the Nepal Premier League, but also no Dan Pascoe.
And Jamie Atkinson.
Yeah, that's three big outs.
That's three big.
This gives a little bit more for three others to step up. And last year it was the Waka's Buckout show.
He's been on form lately.
Yeah, and
as always.
He did it in the Fincher Shield last year. Smashed the runs, took the wickets, finished the game off nice and early.
I'm sure Atiq would be bowling 20 on the trot.
Yeah, he'll be glad to get off AstroTurf after last weekend's game at PKVR Park. So that brings to an end the show again, Jason. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be back.
See ya.
The 8 for 52 theme song is The Coin Toss from the band The Duckworth Lewis Method. Find them on Apple iTunes and YouTube and download that song and all their other cricket-related music.
The 8 for 52 podcast is edited, produced and published by Matt Botfield and Aaron Bush for Trip Ahead Limited. Copyright 2024. I think I'm hoping for a bat, and that's that.